Welcome to this edition of Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson.
I love this thought, and I love this thought right now, especially. I love the thought about how God just suddenly breaks into stuff. And sometimes it's when you least expect it, or least expect it in that you know it needs to happen, but you just can't see how it's going to happen. And there's so many times in the history of God's people that this is exactly the way he does things.
Today on Back to Basics, Pastor Brian continues his study in the Gospel of Luke. Join us as Pastor Brian begins his teaching on Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 80. Now, here's Pastor Brian.
He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. Now, as Mary expresses these things, she's going to be, on one level, she's expressing what God has done for her, but she's also obviously speaking on behalf of the people of God. And it's interesting, too, that we'll notice that she's speaking in the past tense when it comes to the things that the Lord has done, even though they have yet to be fulfilled. But her faith is so fixed that she can say with certainty, the kind of certainty that says it's already happened, that the promises of God, all the promises of God that are wrapped up in the Messiah are as good as fulfilled now that God has fulfilled the promise of sending him into the world. And so she goes on and she says, he has performed mighty deeds with his arm, scattered those who were proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. So notice what she's describing here. She's describing basically the overthrowing of kingdoms. That's pretty fascinating, again, when you think of this young woman. So she has assimilated all of the significance of the messianic person. This is what he is going to do. And of course, she was saying that in a context of oppression, as we know and as we saw last time, how the Jewish people were under the thumb of the Romans at the time. But the promise of a toppling of the powers that be was not just for that time, or not even primarily for that time, but ultimately for all time, at the end of time. You know, you think of how history has been a series of empires that rise to power and dominate and most of the time oppress people and so forth. And they go on and they appear to be invincible. They appear that they are going to just go on and on endlessly, but inevitably they all fall. And that will continue to be the case until there is a final empire that rises that is the most oppressive and godless empire of all, that I would imagine is going to look invincible. It's going to look like it's going to go on endlessly, but it will be brought down. And that's what is included in Mary's word here. And it's all, she says, the promises that God gave to Abraham and his descendants. remember the promise that God gave to Abraham, that he would be the one through whom the whole world would be blessed. God called him, as we know, he called him out of his country, away from his family, to go to a place God said that I will show you, and I will bless you, and I will make you a blessing, and in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And that promise is still good today. And of course, Jesus is that seed of Abraham, and he has blessed all of those who have put their trust in him, but his blessing is going to extend, as we know, to the entire planet when he returns in fulfillment of God's promises to Abraham. And so Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. So Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. Mary stayed for 3 months. So it doesn't say that she was there when the baby was born, but maybe she was. But then she returned home. And so when it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. So, you know, in that culture, I mean, you know, even today, of course, when we hear about a friend, or, you know, maybe us parents who have grown children, and you find out that your kids are going to have a baby. Oh my gosh, you know, how thrilling, how exciting. Well, it was the same thing then. And there was extra joy because Elizabeth was old. Nobody was thinking, including Elizabeth and Zacharias, that our future includes a baby. But it did. And so there's this great joy that's being shared at the birth of this son. And on the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up and said, "No, he is to be called John." And they said to her, "There's no one among your relatives that has that name." And then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. Now, remember when Zechariah encountered Gabriel and responded in unbelief to the words of Gabriel. Gabriel said, "From this point forward, you shall not be able to speak." But it's apparent that he was also not able to hear, because they had to motion to him. They were motioning back and forth. And so he asked for a writing tablet. They made signs asking him, what would you name the child? He asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." And remember, John means either the gift of Yahweh or the grace of Yahweh, either one. And so this is to be his name. And immediately, so for 9 months, Zechariah has not been able to speak or hear. But immediately upon writing on the tablet, "His name is John," his mouth was opened, his tongue set free, and he began speaking, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand was with him." Now, I don't think we can overstate, again, the excitement that would have existed at this time. Because remember, these are a people who have waited century after century after century for these very promises to be fulfilled. And before the appearance of Gabriel to Zechariah, and then a bit later to Mary, there was nothing around them that would have necessarily indicated that we're right on the threshold of these things being fulfilled. I would imagine that as they looked around them, it just seemed like the same thing, just day in and day out, it's just the same old thing. Now, they had hope in the Lord. They loved the Lord, as we saw with Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were devout. They were committed to the Lord. Zechariah was part of the priesthood. So they were part of that faithful remnant. As we see Mary, she's a young woman, but she has this faith. But the promises, I mean, just think about how far back those promises were given. Century upon century upon century. And as we pointed out, you know, that great period in the history of the nation, the Davidic period, David is the king. And then the promises about the Messiah are the fact that he's going to be related to David. But now at this time, the house of David is so insignificant. Joseph belongs to the house of David, but nobody cares because nobody's really thinking that we're just about ready for the fulfillment of all these things. But now the realization, so they're looking at this child and they're seeing these strange things that are happening. This priest, Zechariah, that we know, he hasn't been able to talk. And now suddenly his tongue is loosed and he bursts forth in praise to God. They must have been just like, wow, what is happening here? And, you know, I think about how, and I love this thought, and I love this thought right now, especially. I love the thought about how God just suddenly breaks into stuff. And sometimes it's when you least expect it. Least expect it in that you know it needs to happen, but you just can't see how it's going to happen. And there's so many times in the history of God's people that this is exactly the way he does things. And I always think of the story of Joseph, because I love the story of Joseph. And the story of Joseph, I like to sum it up in this. Joseph, he wakes up in prison and he goes to bed in the palace. Everything changed in one day for Joseph. But for 13 years, he was in this oppressive thing. He was imprisoned. He was sold into slavery, as we know, by his brothers. And, you know, there was that brief moment while he was in prison that there was a little bit of hope, because these two servants of Pharaoh had been cast into prison and they had dreams and they were wondering what the dreams meant. And Joseph was able to interpret the dream. And one of the men was the butler to Pharaoh, and he had this dream about this cup and the cup being filled with wine. And Joseph said, "This is what's going to happen. In 3 days, you're going to be restored to your position. You're going to serve Pharaoh once again." And Joseph said, "And when you get out of here, remember me. I'm here unjustly. So just, you know, put in a good word for me to Pharaoh. Get me out of here." And the guy's like, "Oh, you bet. That's first thing I'm going to do when I get out of here." And 2 years pass and nothing happens. And then when the moment comes when Pharaoh has his dreams and he's trying to figure out what they mean, suddenly the butler, you know, I'm sure he was like, "Oh gosh, I can't believe it. Oh my goodness, you know, there was a point, Pharaoh, when you were angry with me and you put me in prison and I met this young Hebrew and I had a dream and he told me everything. The interpretation had happened exactly like he said." And Pharaoh said, "Well, we need that guy. Get him." And so that day, after 13 years, Joseph wakes up in prison. I doubt that he was hopeful that anything was going to be different the next day, but it was radically different the next day. And so with these people, suddenly everything changes. And so with us, I'm preaching this to myself right now. So with us, the Lord can just change everything in an instant and just reset the whole course. Like, okay, here's what we're doing now. Here's where we're going. This is what I promised I would do. And now the time has come. That's what's going on with all these folks here. And so you can understand why they're absolutely thrilled about all of this, but they're also wondering, what then is this child going to be? Wow, they don't fully get it, but they know that there's something special that's going on. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. I love this portion right here. Zechariah's prophecy is just so fascinating. It says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them." Now notice, just like Mary, he has come to his people and has redeemed them. The Holy Spirit is inspiring him. And again, going back to that other point, even though none of the events have actually unfolded at this point, John's a little, he's a baby, but yet the certainty of the final fulfillment of all the things that John would stand for. So he can speak of redemption as a thing that God has done. He has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Now, remember, John the Baptist, as he will be called, he's a Levite. So Zechariah is speaking prophetically. He's speaking about Mary's child at this point, which at this point, no one knows any detail about that. But the Spirit of God is inspiring him, so he's making that connection. He's understanding through the Spirit that there's this relationship between the calling and ministry of this child of his and the Messiah, the one who would come from the house of David. As he said through his holy prophets long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham. So he is repeating almost a word for word some of the things that Mary spoke. And the oath that he swore was to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. So this is the promise that God will redeem us from the hand of our enemies and that he will enable us to serve him without fear and holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And this is the promise of God for all of us, that this is where everything is taking us ultimately to that place of living in the fullness of God's kingdom, of serving the Lord all throughout all of eternity without fear, without oppression, without any of those things to worry about, in holiness and righteousness before him. And now, and you, my child, I would imagine that he's perhaps even holding John, the little baby. And you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High. Wow, the prophet of the Most High. The prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord. You will go on before Yahweh to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven. Now, remember, Zechariah is, he's filled with the Spirit. He's speaking by the Spirit. I am absolutely sure that Zechariah is probably marveling himself at what he's saying. I don't think he even understands what he's saying. He doesn't know all of the implications of what this actually looks like, especially when he's talking about this salvation, the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God. I mean, this is where you just see, this is the Spirit of God communicating. This is the gospel coming through Zechariah. The forgiveness of sin based on what? The tender mercy of our God. You see, among the religious leaders of the time, the teachers of the nation, there was no thought about the forgiveness of sin through the tender mercy of our God. The forgiveness of sin was only going to come by, well, the sacrifices, yes, but by the time we get to the New Testament, the sacrifices are really kind of irrelevant to the religious leaders because they've created a system that doesn't really depend on the sacrifices anymore. They've created a different system whereby you are justified by your obedience to the laws, both written and oral. So as far as the religious leadership of the day, they don't know anything about this free grace of God. They don't know anything about this mercy of God that brings this salvation that is being spoken of. But of course, the influence of the Spirit, Zechariah he's speaking the gospel. But I love this, by which the rising sun, or some translations read the day star, will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death. And here's kind of a reference back to Malachi, where Malachi speaks of the Sun of Righteousness will arise. To you who wait, the Sun of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. And it seems that the Spirit is bringing those things together and communicating them through Zechariah.
For the month of October, Back to Basics Radio is offering a book titled, Is Christmas Unbelievable? 4 Questions Everyone Should Ask About the World's Most Famous Story by Rebecca McLaughlin. Although the holiday season can be filled with fond memories from childhood or the prospect of more to come, the holiday season can also be one of the most difficult times of the year. The longing for those we miss can intensify, or the loneliness felt throughout the year can be amplified. Whether the holiday season brings you excitement or dread, Rebecca McLaughlin will introduce you to the man born 2,000 years ago and explain the significance of his birth for you today. She will deal with the incredible claims of Christianity and will help you see that it is perhaps more important than you think. The book is Christmas Unbelievable, 4 Questions Everyone Should Ask About the World's Most Famous Story by Rebecca McLaughlin, is our gift to say thank you for your donation to Back to Basics. So we encourage you to call us right now at 1-800-733-6443.
or visit us online at backtobasicsradio.com. We'd also like to remind you that all of our other resources are waiting for you at backtobasicsradio.com or by calling our request line at 1-800-733-6443. That's 1-800-733-6443. Our desire is to encourage you in your daily walk with God. We'll continue tomorrow with more valuable insights from Pastor Brian as we study together in the Gospel of Luke. Back to Basics is the preaching and teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California.